I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny.
And we're back.
Like we were, like we never left. Although we did. Because I've been renting my gear out to a friend. And there was a whole lot of back and forth. I don't even want to get into it.
Well, I mean, we're back. That's what matters. We're here and we're talking.
We will never leave you. We can't leave you. Our one listener.
We'll just take breaks.
Who's pretty consistent. We like
we'll
that
just
guy.
Take
or girl.
Plenty of breaks.
What have you been doing with your break, Sebastian? What have you been up to? What have you learned?
What have I learned? It's hot and I don't like it. But I feel like I already knew that. This just feels like a refresher course.
We have had the worst weather. Like, consistently for the past couple of weeks, I've been saying to people who I know, that it just doesn't feel like summer. And it's beginning to really, really depress me, I think. But it's also, on the other end of that, if it does get hot, I'll be the first motherfucker to say, fuck me, I think it's too hot, mate. I wouldn't enjoy your hot weather for too long, because you've got a storm on the way, my guy.
Yeah, so
Some weather guys on TikTok, were saying...
Apparently, it's, intensifying, and there's, I mean, I don't think we're going to get, the full brunt of it.
No.
But also, apparently it's the first time that this has happened in, almost 100 years or something like that. I could be wrong, but, it's
El Nino, bro. That motherfucker be a bitch.
It's been a minute. Bro, honestly, I think El Nino, and I think about this fucking weekend update bit with Chris Farley... He's dressed up and he's wearing Mexican inspired costuming. He's like, I am El Nino.
We miss Chris Farley.
Oh man, Chris Farley was absolute the GOAT.
Oh man, he was
the
GOAT.
Bye, Chris Farley.
If you haven't seen that song, go watch Adam Sandler and his tribute to Chris Farley a couple of years ago. It's been downhill for Saturday Night Live since then, to be honest.
It's just for Sandler to make you laugh with a song and make you cry at the same time with the same song, man, that is next level shit.
Oh yeah, 100%. Is I hope this bad weather for you comes and goes, because I'm gonna need some sun when I come over in October. Can I pre-order some half decent weather? I know it won't be too hot for you guys, but for we British folk, if it's blue skies 18, 19 degrees, I'm in my shorts, I'm in my t-shirt, I'm walking around in my flip-flops. That's all I'm asking. Doesn't need to be scorchio, but I remember last time I went in March, and holy crap, we had that whole day where it just rained.
It just poured,
It was awful.
I don't know, man. The idea of like the seasons kind of pushing themselves further back feels like more and more it's accurate. Yeah. So I genuinely came like, oh, it's fall. Is it really? Because it doesn't fucking feel like it. Your calendar says it is. The weather says fucking different.
If we want to talk about a combination of weather, electrical companies, and just American farm companies just comboing the shit out of an area, we need to send our hearts out to Maori right now.
Yeah, man. It's really fucking insane. Like, I don't know if
it's
seen,
bad.
Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, the worst part of it, too, it's like seeing all the locals go through all that crap, and like the people who have been ferried out the quickest have been the tourists.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I get it. You know, Hawaii is a beautiful place and it's a great place to go see. I personally know I've never been, and it's always been on the bucket list.
I don't think I went to Maui. Like, so I'm not gonna comment. I see the four photos and the after photos, and it just looks like the whole island got glassed.
It's just fucking sad, man. And then again, you know, you see all these local people trying to rebuild their homes and trying to have to deal with everything that they've lost, and then you have all these tourists trying to come in.
I don't want to get into too much of it, but like. Like last year, there was a conference that said like something like this was like 100 to 1, but then the same people re-met this year in January and said now it's like 20 to 1, because I think one of the main culprits of why the fire got so bad was apparently Dole. Dole have a lot of farmland on Maui, and it was we built all this, like we cut down the natural Maui fauna. Built all this food for cows. They stopped farming cows, but they was like, oh, we don't need to get anyone to mow this. But it's like that really thin wheat grass that just doesn't stop growing, and if it gets on fire, it gets bad. And then there was an electrical company that, when the storm started, they told false reports that the storm was going to dissipate. The storm went right through their electrical circuits. They literally kick-started the epicenter of the fire. It took them 4 days to turn off the electricity. Yeah. It's, and now the you got apparently some guy's written a book. On Amazon, there's through fire and hell, the fires of Maui, and it literally came out it came out this week. There's two books. I remember one of them. Is like one of them's got like a really it's a Jane Doe name, I swear to God, it doesn't exist. And then there's another one that like came, like both books came out this week, and people were like, yo, the fires were last week, bro. Yeah. Like it's creepy. And then you've got the Wall Street investors that are now reaching out to the families that have been displaced from their homes. It's like, yo, are you going back? Can I buy your land? Fuck, man. And then Biden's like, oh, here's $700 per family. That'll do.
What the fuck is that going to do?
Go. Oh, maybe you'll go to the movies by yourself. Like, what a backhand.
Maybe you can afford to stay in one of the hotels. Doubt it, but you can try.
You know how fucked up the world is when Jeff Bezos is giving the most to the Maui Relief Fund.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
When you've got like Owen Wilson that lives on an island nearby, Oprah Winfrey that lives on an island nearby, or both of them brought their islands after natural disasters, by the way. So this whole buying land when it's like after shit goes down is American capitalism, apparently.
I mean, it makes sense, and it's terrible that it makes sense, you know. These people are going to be desperate, and they're looking for a way out. They're looking for that safety net, that olive branch, and someone's going to give it to you. If you've lost everything and this is an opportunity to rebuild from somewhere else,
you know they're buying it cheap it. Though, bro. You know.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
Like, yo, I'm not buying, like, you know.
But you,
I'm
you
not
know,
going top it, dollar.
Oh no, but I think that's also the thing where it's like, to them it's cheap, but to these people it could potentially be life changing money.
Yeah, if you know what the plan is, it's like, okay, cool. I'll take some money now, but whenever you start making money on my land, I want to take like I want to take 2%, 3% every single time something happens.
I think that should be the move. Yeah,
that's what most football teams do now. Like it's like, oh, I'll pay this much now, but when I sell him for more, you'll get some of that too.
Yeah. But yeah, craziness. So hopefully, you know.
And in some other good news, the Premier League started again. So sports are on the way back, people. That basically means there's NFL in a couple of weeks. There's NBA in a couple of months. So rejoice. The weekends are returning to normal. Sports ball. ESPN 8, the Ocho. If it's almost a sport, we've got it here.
So let's. I mean, we talked about it every episode. I don't think. I mean, so the strike is still ongoing.
Oh, is it? I didn't know.
Like, there's been. I don't know if you've seen. Like, apparently, there was a couple of times where it seemed like there were going to be some talks.
They got producers. Back together to talks, but then apparently the leader of the AMPTP started off by saying, "Look, the people just want to get back to work." It's like, oh, okay, you're not getting this. Shut the fuck up. Oh, I remember. That's the big thing I learned. That if the WGA get their deal, they're going to remain on strike until the actors get theirs. That's huge. Yeah. That's huge news. But it's also it also means like this thing's going till Christmas, 100%.
Yeah, this thing's going to go for a while. But I will say I feel like one of the big takeaways from this is the inspiration that this has created. Like, it's, you know, something that we wanted to talk about. Marvel VFX artists have decided to unionize.
Huge. Like,
if
Marvel thought they were fucked before, if Disney thought they were fucked before, these are the guys that basically make the movie now.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm 1,000% behind it. I am 1,000% in support because you've seen the shit that's been coming out.
Me and you, like, huge supporters of the strikes. You know, they need to go on as long as they need. I've got friends like on the front line, all like every day. It's like, they go Warner Bros on Monday, they go Paramount on Tuesday. You know, it's crazy. It got so much for one of my friends that they've actually, like, you know, they've got to give themselves like a mental holiday. And I was like, you've earned it.
You have to.
If you've seen the news that it's like it's going to be ongoing for a while, it's like, you know, do as much as you can, but like, make, you know, definitely, you know, I hope everyone on the front lines who is a friend of mine, or he isn't even a friend of mine, I hope everyone on the front lines is, you know, look after yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing. Like,
important as it is to fight for the wages and stuff, if you're not taking care of yourself, that's got to be tough.
You don't want to get caught in an interview and emotions at the door, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Ocean's 11, you know, what's the first rule of poker? Leave emotion at the door.
At the door, yep.
I'm running away with your wife. Excuse me? I'm having the time of my life.
Oh, man.
Yeah, right. The strikes, bro. Give me an estimate if you had to sort of say, when do you think this is gonna? I don't want to sort of guess like if everyone's gonna get what they want. I just kind of, you know, in your mind's eye, when you're thinking, shit, kind of.
I mean,
doesn't even out, but there's a mutual agreement.
Yeah, I mean, if If it was just the writers, I would say potentially by the end of the year. But because it's also the actors, I don't know. This could stretch into maybe early next year, depending on how things go. I mean, obviously, you know, with the longer it goes, the more fucked the studios are. So the more they're going,
someone's losing all this money, and all the actors and the writers have to do is like, look. We didn't even want a percent of what you've lost.
Yeah.
That's like, and what you've lost and then like, is more than what we even wanted.
And then you have, you know, the big names donating to, you know, the entertainment funds and stuff. So yeah,
didn't Dwayne dip into his, his 401k or some shit?
Yeah. And like, I'm not saying that this is going to sustain them forever, but it'll help people fight this. It'll help people continue to strike, and it'll help people move forward through it. And it, you know, the studios are going to be fucked because of it. So at some point they will cave. They have to cave. They have no choice, or they are fucked.
I mean, you should go take a look at the front lines when I come over in October.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I was gonna say, like, I can see photos. People are literally outside. You know, that path I used to walk down from Oakwood to Knifer every day? That's, like, one of the busiest sections. Where they are. I couldn't do that shit anymore. I'd be like, you fuckers, move. I'm trying to get to school.
And it's cool, too, because, like, it's not even just, at this point, it's not even just, like, you know, the walking and that stuff. It's, like, people have, you know, organized, like, themed things, you know, like parties and, like, 70s and 80s things. So it's to help boost morale. It's like, yeah, you know, we're still picketing, but we're having fun with it. Because at the end of the day, with everyone you're there, everyone you're like getting to know, these people know each other. These people work together. These people are friends. Even, you know, you're meeting new people and this and that. Like, I feel like that kind of thing helps with the mentality of we can continue. We can continue because we're doing this together. We can continue because we're having fun with this. Yes, we're fighting for something very important, but we're not losing our sense of humor. We're not losing our sense of fun and this and that. We're not letting this break us.
You know what business probably is like thriving? The doghouse near Warner Bros.
Oh, I can see that. I can totally see that.
Yeah. Damn. I was thinking of places to eat when I come out there. Like, it's been a while since I've been to a doghouse. Mm-hmm. Kind of like I've been like, when I come over in October, like, I remember in March, I found that chicken place, like Louisiana Fried Chicken or some shit. It was awesome. It was on, I think it was on Verdugo or some shit. I want to do that. Like, I just want to find, like, you know, chicken places, burger places. Even new if places, it's just like, yeah. Like, new places, man.
For sure.
All right, my guy. Where are we, speaking of crap, there's no segue here.
Well, we're talking about, you know, fun and keeping things, you know, light and stuff. That makes me think of music, which is what we're talking about today.
That is a stretch, but I'll allow it. I froze, man.
I literally had nothing else, so that's what we're going with.
Literally, so. I had fucking Jay over here slap me in the face. That's your cue, man. I got nothing.
Right, so we're going to take our break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking the music of the MCU. Stick around. We'll be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
He brought me a Chipotle, babe. He brought me a Chipotle with the chips and the queso, so of course I went back to his Tesla and I sucked his dick. What's the problem? He said he could get me on Jimmy Kimmel, babe. You know that's like my dream.
I've been working on Sasha voices. I'll work on it. I have to get that level of California, self-entitled, you know what I mean? Like 90210 shit.
Yeah. Have you seen Pedro Pascal when he hosted SNL? He did this sketch where he was like waking up from a coma and he was speaking with like an LA accent.
Mm.
And I was like, what the fuck? He's like, oh my God, this is amazing. I can't believe it. This is so great. And I'm like,
no, I'm not seeing
who
that.
Sounds like that? Who in LA sounds like that?
I'll tell you what, I love me some Daddy Pascal. Yeah, let's be serious now. Additional music in Marvel. Yeah, cool. Awesome. I know, because like before the advert, you said music in Marvel. Now people are going to I'd call Daddy Pascal, bro. Like, yum yum, get you some. Let's just put it that way. Like,
yo, I mean, he is the internet's daddy, and
he is, and he's living into that shit.
I mean, I get it.
I get it.
Fucking Mandalorian, fucking Last of Us, bro. I mean, I get it.
That he literally did, like they literally did Robot Chicken when he took the helmet off. Surprise ending. Looks even better without the helmet. What's that? Oh, blasters aren't allowed? Okay. No blasters. So slow, Solo. Solo on the rocks. You know this, who's the guy who does Boba's Tamora Morrison is his name?
I think so.
The guy who does the voice of Boba Fett, he also does the voice for Robot Chicken.
The Boba Fett voice for Robot Chicken.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. That like I always loved that. I rated him. It's like you can be super serious in the movies, but then you can like, it's like at least you didn't go out like a bitch. No, not me. No, 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 no. No. I'm okay. I'm not going to give you the pleasure, Daddy-o. Formal da-da-da-da, ba-boom. Boba's got himself a lightsaber now, baby. Red and blue.
What does that make? Purple.
Hooray.
And that would be the most awesome thing to happen ever. Can somebody get me a sock?
I love Robot Chicken, man. Robot Chicken, then the Family Guy parodies. That's how it goes.
That's how that shit goes. That shit's fucking funny.
I'll tell you what also goes. Additional music in Marvel, bro. Let's put this train back on track.
So we are in the middle currently of phase 5 and like
how's it going, Sebastian? Guardians was good.
So that's what I was going to say, like, you know, obviously right now it's still so early in phase 5. I don't want to judge the thing as a whole, but as it is.
Oh no, phase 5 has sucked. I'll say it for you.
They're 1 for 3. I would say they're 1 for 3 right
they're
now.
About to be 1 for 4 because we know Miss Marvel, like Marvel's is there like, you know, there's not even going to be any IMAX screens in America because Dune 2 has already booked out IMAX.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Jog on.
Dude, so you know what? I'm not gonna lie. I was when I saw the trailer, the first couple trailers, I was really excited. I thought it looked pretty cool. That excitement was quickly frozen when the fucking director was like, oh, it's gonna be wacky and silly and like, so it's Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
We did that. You tried that. It did not work. It was awful.
This is literally what Taika says was the bad thing. Like, you know, they got comfortable. They were too happy making it. Like, there was no sense of, like, urgency, seriousness.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm pretty sure Chris, like, even though they said four will return, you know, I'm pretty sure Chris is fighting to be in either Kang or Secret Wars.
Well, he did say that he won't come back unless, like, there's a fundamental change.
I think he won't come back to do another four movie. I think he'll get that cameo money for the big Marvel. But like, is it just me, or is like the best news, the most exciting news about Marvel right now, is Sam Raimi and Maguire wanting to do Spider-Man 4? Wolverine, like Hugh Jackman, apparently in talks to do like a big part in Secret Wars. The cameos we're going to get in Secret Wars, you know, are we getting Deadpool kills the Fox universe before we get like, you know, any kind of good X-Men thing coming in? Like,
yeah,
you know, we like, I guess, like, that's the, like, I need to eat my own words here, because we actually got some castings. We haven't talked about Fantastic Four.
I'm literally looking
here. I've got a poster of Eddie Munson from Strange Things 4, and big man's like Johnny Blaze.
Johnny Blaze is Ghost Rider. You're talking Johnny Storm. Oh,
Johnny Storm. Sorry, my bad.
But so the only reason I don't want to talk about that yet is because I don't want to do it until it's officially confirmed by, like, confirmed.
Yeah, right.
And like, I'm definitely excited for who's been rumored, who's been hinted at, because I think they'll do well. But apparently, like, casting Reed Richards has been a fucking nightmare.
Who's been cast as Reed Richards?
Well, like, the person who was in early talks was Adam Driver, and apparently he just couldn't connect with the character.
Not surprising. Like, Adam Driver takes a lot to... I couldn't see Adam Driver as Mr. Fantastic, personally.
Oh, no, me either. But like, for me, I'm like, what is it? What was it about him that you just, like, nah? that's my question. Yeah. Like, obviously, Krasinski was casted in for the fans.
Yeah, and he's like, even said it was a fun little thing to do. Like, I don't think... I mean,
yeah, I doubt he'll come
like
back.
John Krasinski's literally had to tell Amazon that he doesn't want to do Jack Ryan anymore because he's so busy, like, writing and directing now. I think we're going to see a lot less of Krasinski acting.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, good on him. The man knows what he wants, and he's pretty good at it, so...
Real quick, before we get into phase one music, which is you've done best music out of phase one. Who would you cast as Reed Richards? Real quick.
Who would I cast as Reed Richards? Fuck me. That's Damn. You know what the annoying thing is? Is that for me, the what the hell is his name? The guy who was in the original Fantastic Four, who was Reed Richards.
Ian, I know who you mean.
Yeah, him. I actually liked him as Mr. Fantastic. Honestly, I thought he did really good.
Same.
And like, he's been like in my mind. When I think of Mr. Fantastic, he's who I see in my head. I wouldn't cast him as it in a remake. But, like, I don't know, someone who has a similar presence. Like, it's definitely got to be an older dude. I'm not, like, stupidly old, but, like...
Oh, Eoin Gruffudd. Fuck me.
Yeah, that dude.
Yeah. That's got to... wow.
I'm pretty sure he's English.
He is English, but, like, he's got a name I would give to, like, a children's book. The Gruffudd?
Is that the Gruffudd?
That's not the Gruffalo, bro. So I'm looking at some potentials here. I know he was in Fanforstic, because that movie will never be named otherwise. Oh. Miles Teller.
Miles Teller.
Let's give him another shot. I feel like Who wasn't he Reed Richards before?
He was Reed Richards.
Big man's learned a lot after punching Colin Trevorrow in the face, or Colin Trask, whatever his name is.
Yeah. If we were going to go like older, I would suggest maybe John Hamm. That could be an interesting casting.
I could see John Hamm. What are some potentials here? John Krasinski is a potential. Penn Badgley is a potential. I can picture William Jackson Harper. John David Washington here. I could see that.
That's definitely a different take.
That's definitely a different take. What?
Yeah.
Why, Sebastian? Why is that a different take? Oh, I'm just throwing you under the bus.
No, I knew you were gonna fucking do it too. Like, no, I feel like. From what I've seen from Washington, he can take like a lot of intensity in like the roles, and it depends on what version of Reed Richards they're gonna go with. For the most part, he's a pretty intense dude. I potentially do the role.
Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, that's interesting.
Sudeikis, either way.
Yeah,
Zachary Quinto's here. Who's this? Is that Patrick Wilson? Patrick Wilson?
Yo, what if they like? What if they poached Zachary Levi?
Damn.
I want him cast for the lulz.
What about Henry Cavill, bro? Speaking of.
Oh,
the reverse, yes. The reverse poach.
There you go.
John Cho is up here. Many people are suggesting. John Cho's aging like fine wine.
I can see that. I can definitely see him as Mr. Fantastic.
Okay, I've got my vote. I see his smug little face. Matt Smith.
Ooh, Matt Smith would be good.
He's got that charisma. He's intelligent. He definitely wants out of DC.
he definitely deserves fucking a reprise after fucking Morbius. Jesus Christ.
Let's end that there and get on to music in Marvel. So what do we mean by additional music, Sebastian?
The way I took it is, you know, it's nothing that was originally created for the movie. You know, it's nothing composed. We're talking like the jukebox stuff. We're talking about the creme de la creme of music that's, you know, been chosen to just brighten and add so much depth and levity to the MCU. And phase one was difficult. I'm not going to lie. Because I was like, there were options, mind you. It just felt like.
Spitball me, so, like, did you make a list of like I've got phase two as my first phase. I wrote down every movie and every like, and under every movie was every potential. Did you happen to do that? Like, can you spitball me
I didn't write all of them down, I just wrote the ones I did for phase one, because I do have a couple honorable mentions for phase three and phase five.
Awesome.
But so for me, phase one, it felt very much like the music that really stood out, the music that really like, fuck, that's really fucking dope. We're very much associated with Iron Man.
Ah, yes, because you got Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2 in your movies, right?
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. And it makes sense, you know, because like, you know, fucking, he's the rock star of the.
Any like World War II saxophone shit from Captain America.
No, I mean, no, that's not your not team, at all. Bro. As cool as that is. So, first pick, I gotta go because it is probably the first bit of music that we hear in the MCU, and that is AC/DC's Back in Black.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What a choice. That's literally before, like, Tony Stark and his convoy just get wiped out.
It is literally our introduction to the MCU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what that song is. And it's like, and I remember when I was like trying to pick it, I was like, I had another reason for it. But like, in thinking about it now, it's like, holy shit. Like, when you first watch Iron Man, you first watch the first movie that started all of this, the first thing is bam, bam,
bam, yep.
Bam, and you're like, yep, sold. I'm fucking in. Let's do it. And like, It's funny because the reason that I had initially picked the song is because of the callback, which is the other reason I picked the other song as well.
Yeah,
it's called back in fucking in Far From Home, which is in phase three.
No, what are you gonna have to tell me, bro? I've got phase four. You're the one who's got phase three.
Yeah. It's the end of phase three. It's after Endgame.
Yeah, and there's two Spider-Man movies in Phase 3.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Phase 3 was long.
Yeah. You got home, but, Homecoming and Far From Home. Homecoming in the beginning
and
Far From Home. Because like Phase 3, like, we probably should have split, like, you probably should have had Phase 3 Part 1, and I probably should have taken Phase 3 Part 2.
Phase 3 Part 2.
Because you've got a lot of movies in Phase 3 the way we set this up.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I picked the ones that I feel like, again, were the most effectively used,
yeah,
and like the ones who like really
people remember.
But like, yeah, so Back in Black, first Iron Man, and then the callback in Far From Home when Peter's creating his new suit.
Yeah,
I love Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like Jesus it's Christ, like Gen Z.
Hey, do you know this really old movie?
This is a really, really old movie, Alien. It's like, Jesus fucking
you
Christ,
shut
bro.
The fuck up.
So it works, though. So this other... So phase one, for me, I'm going to close out with another AC/DC song. Because, again, Iron Man. Intro, Iron Man 2. This is the first thing we fucking hear. Is the opening notes to Shoot to Thrill. And you just see Iron Man leap out of the fucking plane.
Yes.
Landing in the middle of on the stage, and it's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, as good as it is there, it's the moment for me that stands out with this song is when he overtakes the intercom system in Avengers, and he plays that shit as he comes in to confront Loki. It's so fucking good.
Oh my god. So, on that, where the fuck is that like Avengers theme park now? Or like the Tony Stark living museum? Like, it got like...
Oh,
it didn't get fully destroyed in Iron Man 2, did it?
Nah. I don't think so.
It'd be cool if it was Hammer Industries' new lab, because we know we're getting Sam Rockwell back.
That's true. I mean, I would love for him to play on that. It's like, yeah, I bought this land.
Like he's kept the pond. Like the only thing that's still there is the pond. That'd be pretty cool. I don't know, but yeah, there's a lot of things that like happened and just were never played with again. My dad will be upset that you didn't choose Iron Man at the end of Iron Man 1.
I didn't want to be. I really debated it, man. But I feel like. I feel like, again, because of the callbacks, because the callbacks helped me like reemphasize the impact of the songs.
Yes, my first pick for phase two, huge like implications for the rest of like, without this song, a certain relationship just doesn't exist, so to speak. So yeah.
Well,
phase two.
What is it?
Like you, pretty difficult. Iron Man 3, I've literally got here, nothing worth mentioning. 4-2, nothing worth mentioning. And then we get to Cap 2, and I'm like, yo, please don't tell me there's nothing here. But there's something. There's something. At the start of the movie, Sam goes to Cap. Chubba Man, Marvin Gaye. And then at the end, when Steve is waking up in hospital, it's like it plays through like the last, like the ending montage. You see where whatever character's doing, like towards the end of the movie. Sam's playing Chubba Man by Marvin Gaye, just as Steve is waking up. He's there, like reading the newspaper. He's like, Cap will wake up when he needs to wake up. And you just know that, like, you know, that relationship. It's like I see every now and then I'll see a meme of like, oh, Bucky had to be quiet whilst, like, you know, his best friend he knew like way back when is giving some guy he just met his like entire legacy. I was like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up on your left. Like, don't say it.
Don't say it.
It's just one of it, like, it's a really, like, it was such a good way to end such a good movie. Like, if you know me, you know Winter Soldier is like, you know, Endgame's 9 out of 9. Infinity War's 9 out of 9. The only 10 out of 10 hallowed ground is Winter Soldier.
So good. It's so fucking good. So
fucking good. And this, you know, Trouble Man, it's like, it's a good song. Like, every song I chose, like, I played it. What, like, I let that shit play out, and I was like, yeah. Like, more so than the movie allows. Like, sometimes, like, they'll chop like little pieces, like, just so they can get the best bits of the song. But like, oof, love me, so you know, let's Marvin Gaye and get it on. I'm just gonna bypass like two movies that don't really have anything. Ultron, like, I've given an honorable mention to I've Got No Strings. Because it does actually play and is manipulated whenever Ultron sings it.
Yeah.
Like after he enters, it plays through to him going to Sokovia. Like in a really dark, distorted way. But I was like, doesn't really count. And then there's the only thing I've got for Ant-Man was I'm Ready by the Commodores. And now you're thinking, wait, Ed, you got Phase 2. You're missing a movie. I couldn't just put Guardians 1 on the whole fucking album now, could I? I actually written here, come on, the whole fucking album, !! But then I was like, no, we have to be good. We gave ourselves the challenge of two movies per phase. I thought that was going to be a challenge, but for these early phases, it was like, I can't even find two, bro. Later on, I'm like, holy shit. Look at them buns.
literally me for phase 5, bro. I was like, what the fuck?
So I've got, so just like some of the big ones, you know, Escape by Rupert Holmes. People are thinking, huh, what's that one? That's the Pina Colada song. Now you know it's called Escape. And then we've Hooked on a Feeling is another good one, Blue Swede. But, if we're talking callbacks, if we're talking the callbacks of all callbacks, Guardians 1 starts with Come and Get Your Love by Redbone. And it's played again, just without the music actually playing, because this time you actually see Chris Pratt trying to sing it himself. In fucking Endgame, when he's kicking the little squirrel things, and Nebula and Rhodey, Rhodey, quote unquote. Thank you, Secret Invasion, you twat. Watching him is like, is this what he's usually like? And Nebula's like, yeah.
So he's an idiot.
He's an idiot. He's just kicking little squirrels.
He just smashes the back of...
Come and get your love, come and get your love, come and get your love now.
Hey. Oh, man. Good shit, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, had to go with it. Like, I'm pretty sure if we're talking, like, Guardians 1 kick-started the use of additional music in...
Oh, absolutely.
In Marvel. Like, in a big way. Like, James Gunn opened the floodgates... Like, to music, I feel like in movies it's called music supervision. You've got like music composer, and there's always like someone who leads music supervision. And I'm pretty sure that's the person who will go out and like source all the copyrights. I know James Gunn does that himself. Yeah. Like, it's a big thing for him to release like the soundtracks to the movies. Yeah. I think when he did it for Guardians 3, There was two songs he says, I'm not going to tell you because they're actually spoilers. But, like, I know what song starts in Guardians 3 and fuck. good choice. But, yeah, like, I feel like James Gunn was probably one of the smartest directorial writing decisions and also use of music decisions Marvel has ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, even in, like, sure. Even in his Suicide Squad movie, great music there as well.
Yeah. You know, I think he's created that standard where, like, it's expected.
Yeah, like his movies. I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to seeing, like, what he does with Superman. To be honest,
same.
Yeah,
same.
If we get fucking what's that? Tony Hawk's Pro Skater song. Here I am, doing all the things I can, getting smarter all the time, pretending I'm Superman. Mate, I'm gonna go play some Tony Hawk. I'll see you in a bit, man. I was 12 when I heard that song first come on. I was like, yo, I'm in for a good time.
I'm not going to lie. Just quickly speaking about Superman and the music, I do hope there's a little bit of, like, an homage to, like, the Richard Donner theme. Because
I would love an homage to Hans Zimmer. Because Superman's, has been quintessential. Like, the composed music has been phenomenal, and that is like F-E-F-F-E. Come on, Ed. F-H-E dash nominal. That, like, emphasis.
Emphasis?
F and A. How many times can I quote Dodgeball in one podcast?
right.
Phase 3.
Fuck me.
Which, I'm sorry, I've only just realised that Phase 3 was in two parts.
It's so long. There's so much shit in
There's
Phase
so
3.
So many movies. You've got so but many. Like, you got Civil War. You got two Avengers movies. You got two Spider-Man movies. You got Black Panther, whatever that is. You've got... I don't think there's any music in Black Panther. I know for a fact there's music in Marvel because that shit's set in the 80s, bro. Set in the 80s, 90s, I think.
Guardians 2 is in Phase 3, right?
Yeah, Guardians 2 is in Phase 3.
Okay. I was like, I couldn't remember.
You got Fox on the Run in Guardians. Fox on the Run. Love that song.
So that's definitely an honorable mention for me.
Mm-hmm.
Love that song. Great fucking song. And then you've got Rubber Band Man in Endgame. You know, it's the intro for the Guardians.
Yes.
And that movie was fucking... No, in Infinity War, which is fucking cool.
Come and take, like, you on a little ship in my rocket ship.
I love that so much. And then fucking Blitzkrieg Bop in
Blitzkrieg Bop.
Homecoming.
Yeah.
But, so... The first song I'm picking is from Phase 3 is a Guardian song.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm picking this song is because it's so instrumental to Guardians okay. 2.
Yeah.
As Brandy by Looking Glass.
Give me a little flavor.
Said Brandy.
Oh.
You're a fine girl.
Yeah.
It is such a good song. And it this is very much the reason, you know, talking about James Gunn and his music selection, it plays such an important role in the development of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
We see Ego and Pete's mom singing it and loving it and enjoying it and falling in love. And then him using it, Ego using it as his excuse for walking out and essentially killing her.
Yeah.
Is fucking crazy. And it's such a good song. And, like, the idea of, like, you know, wanting to be with someone so badly, but you have this other purpose that's like, no, I need to pursue that. It's fucking crazy. And
that's a huge choice of song, bro. That's huge. I love that. I pity the next.
I mean, the next one's not bad. It's definitely not as good as, I mean, and don't get me wrong, it's a great fucking song. I'm saying in terms
of
the
start
reasoning
of,
behind
is it, the,
it.
Is it the start of Endgame?
No.
No,
it is
okay.
not. It is Immigrant Song, Led Zeppelin, Ragnarok.
This is... So, congratulations, Immigrant Song. You've made it into two episodes, but not only two episodes, back to back.
To back. And like, it's just used so fucking well.
So I've not heard the song in ages. I know the song now because I recently watched Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and it's got the remake of the song for the opening credits. Fuck, that shit slaps. I don't know what Trent Reznor did to that song, but damn, he made love to it.
You know, the first movie I ever heard this song pop out in was fucking School of Rock.
Not the first time I ever listened to the song, because it was definitely Marvel, School of Rock, Go with the Dragon Tattoo. The first time the song actually like mattered to me, it's in a trailer for the Destiny 1 game. Where the guys are they're storming like one of the raids on the moon, and as they're coming over the hill, they're like, we need to play some music, and like as it's playing, it's like, oh, classical, nice, and it's like, yo, what? What? you want to eat those words, bitch? Yes, like,
you know,
it's
funny,
a song that's like transcended genres, transcended time.
Yep.
Some people are like, oh, you like Bowie? Like Queen? No. Fuck you, Immigrant Song, Led Zeppelin.
It's you know it right away, and it hooks you in so quick.
Mm.
And I remember when I was a kid, I would hear the song, it would freak me the hell out. The opening, it would scare the shit out of me, dude.
Robert Plant's voice is just so good, man.
And like, as I got older, the more I liked it, the more I was just like, fuck me, dude. This is some next level shit, man. This is
some next level shit, bro. We need to tell the people our proposed casting for a Led Zeppelin biopic.
Ooh.
Which started with me casting Timothy Chalamet as Jimmy Page. Because they've both got that sort of naturally pale look. They're both tall.
Naturally pale.
No, but like they both look so out of it. Like,
yeah.
You know they're doing.
Oh, no,
You know they're doing like, donde estadas es drogas, but like, even when they're not on like the devil's sniff, like they look like they are. You know what I mean?
The devil's.
The devil's salty bum crack, bro. Like
the devil's sugar.
The devil's sugary lettuce, my guy. They're on something all the time, and I just think, yo.
Fuck.
And then because of like his love for John Bonham in Freaks and Geeks, Jason Segel could actually be John Bonham. Give that man a mustache. Mm-hmm. that's John fucking Bonham, bro. And it's a case of if you know, you know. It'd be a good reason for Gen Zs and whatever generation we are now to go back and actually watch Freaks and Geeks, which was way before its time.
Yep, absolutely.
You heard it here first. So have you done you've done your two songs in Phase 3. You need to do Phase 4 now, right?
Yes, sir.
I would like to... Serge Tankian calls out band for playing in Azerbaijan. Oh, damn. I can't be playing in Azerbaijan these days. Serge Tankian of System of a Down. Sorry, I get notifications from...
No worries.
Many apps. Oh, speaking of apps, where's my watch? I don't know. Black Widow. I actually liked the opening credits. So Black Widow was one of the first movies where Marvel, in recent memory... did like some form of like James Bond opening credits that actually had like a song playing over it, and they chose a Smells Like Teen Spirit, like a cover by Think Up Anger, and it's actually pretty good in what I think. This isn't one of my movies, honorable mention. There's also American Pie, Don McLean, huge connotations for that song in the movie. Shang-Chi, I wanted to put in Hotel California here, but according to everywhere online, It's not on the composed album, and it's not on the additional music album, but...
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure they just kind of, like...
They just sing it, right? But I'm pretty sure it appears in the end, though.
It would make sense.
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
It would make sense for it to be it.
There's some good songs, though. Like, I did actually take some time to listen to Lazy Susan, the 21 Savage song, Every Summertime by Nicki, and Run It by DJ Snake. And they were pretty good. Not my kind of shit. But then we come to Eternals. This motherfucker starts with Time by Pink Floyd.
And you run and you run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking.
Awesome. No Way Home. Like, I love that it starts with Izimbra by the Talking Heads. That is, like, you get the chaos in that song to match the chaos of the opening, but that's literally it.
Yep.
In all connotation. And then, Sebastian, I've included, not as one of my songs, but as an honorable mention, in Doctor Strange 2, Have to Do It for My Boy, the X-Men 97 theme. But Doctor Strange 2 does actually have my first pick. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to choose the musical note fight, which is Symphony number 5 by Ludwig van Beethoven versus Fugue in D Minor by Sebastian Bach. I love that scene. The musical notes, just like the Doctor Strange's just firing fucking, like, they don't have guns. What do they have? They have magic. What are we going to do with magic? Get shit to play musical notes. Literally, like, you know, I will see your Ludwig, and I'll raise your Bach. I know some people, that's like, it's that scene where they're like, okay, I'm done. For me, I was like, yo, this is sick.
It was so cool.
It's such a smart idea to have, like, how are we gonna fight? How are intellectuals gonna fight? Ludwig's better. No, Bach's better. Like, the age-old question. such a good scene. You know, Rami had a great time filming that scene. The special effects artist, like, it's actually like. Like, say what you want about the special effects in Marvel movies now. Doctor Strange 2 slapped for me. Mm-hmm. Like it's one of those movies I actually, I can look back and watch now and be like, yo, people were way too harsh on this shit. It's actually honestly, a good time. You
know, I love the movie. And I think what did it is the increasingly stupid expectations that people were putting on the movie.
Yes.
Like, oh, the Kiss cameo, this cameo. I was like, fucking stop, man. That's why you can't enjoy your movie, because you won't shut the fuck up and just wait for it to come out.
Like, Blue Beetle. Looking forward to the movie. I don't really know the character besides Injustice 2, but I hear from what people have, after seeing the movie, they said the fight scenes are ripped from Injustice 2. And I'm like, yo, that was my main. That was, like, I mained Blue Beetle in Injustice 2. So I'm like, if those fight scenes look anything like that, I'm here for it. But I've got no expectations. Apparently, and I'm excited as fuck.
Dude, apparently the director used Injustice 2 as inspiration for the fight scenes.
So I'm here for this shit. And plus, Zolo is so good in Cobra Kai.
He's so good. He's so good.
Like, I know he doesn't do his own fight scenes, but I'm here for him to start getting more work. I want Tana Buchanan to get more work. Is it Mary Mauser? I want her to get more work. Tori,
she's gonna blow up, man.
Whatever her name is, I want her to get more work. All these Cobra Kai guys, because we're getting the last of that. Maybe not next year. Now, like, they literally just did their table read for the final season before, like, literally as the strikes were about to happen. So I guess they've been shut down. But, you know, if they've got more time now to, like, as when they come back to, like, you know, nail that shit, if there's a season they need to nail, holy crap. There's a legacy for those guys in the end of, you know. Because, like, all the guys are coming back to film Stranger Things. And, like, even Millie Bobby Brown was saying, it's like, oh, it's time for it to end. I don't hear that from the Cobra Kai guys. They don't want it to end. Like, Stranger Things, I don't think the love's going to be there for the final season. I'm like, even fucking, who was just in that Gran Turismo movie?
David Harbour.
David Harbour. He's like, yo, I'm done with TV after Stranger Things ends. Come on, man. I'm trying to be hot. Yeah. Like, Stranger Things 4 was so good. You've still, mm-hmm. like, you've got a movie length every episode for Stranger Things 5. Yeah. Put some effort in, man. I don't hear the Cobra Kai guys, like, you know, William Zabka, fucking, he's like, I'm not going to get work after this, son bitch. Like, I'm going to give this my fucking all. Like, if there's, you know, you've got Stranger Things that, like, they know what they are, and Cobra Kai's, you know, I don't think they know. Like, they're going to be very surprised when people see them, you know, depart. Right, 4-4. And I know you and everyone else is expecting November Rain, Paradise City, Welcome to the Jungle. No.
No!
And it's not that piece of shit ABBA song either. ABBA can disappear for all I give a shit. This movie ends with Rainbow in the Dark by Ronnie James Dio. I remember getting ready for this movie, and Taika Waititi was like, the music represents the color palette of the movie and, like, you know, how vibrant and colorful, you know, 4 needs to be against the darkness of gore. And there's even this moment where 4 actually brings color into the black and white fight scene on Gore's planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that not a visualization of perhaps a rainbow in the dark? None of these songs from Guns N' Roses have anything to do with color, have anything to do with rainbows. Come on. Why save such a fantastically named song, fantastically lyrical song as well? Why save that for the credits? What, like, I know, like, Tiger's probably like, oh, no one, like, you know, the mainstream audiences aren't going to know Dio. I don't give a shit. You got Denis Villeneuve out here saying, I make movies for one person in the audience, me. I want to buy that man a pint, because that's not what Taika did with 4-4. Hell no. He included all this other music because he was trying to put bums in seats. Yeah, bums got in seats, but you know what happened? They couldn't wait to fucking leave him. So no one stayed to listen to Rainbow in the Dark by Dio. Everyone had already gone, but I was there. I was tapping along. I literally couldn't wait until, like, I saw that movie again with my dad in the cinema, because I was like, dude, wait for it. There it is! 2 hours and 30 minutes, and now you get this! Was it worth it? But it's like, come on. You literally could have called this movie Full Rainbow of the Dark. That's my song. Black Panther 2, you've got that Rihanna song that she wrote for the movie, which I think is going to kickstart, like, artists writing music for Marvel movies now. I feel like that's going to become
Bond stuff.
A huge thing. I think that's the next thing Marvel wants to do. They want to, you know, but, you know, they're not going to win it this year, because best song this year is going to my boy Jack Black for Peaches. Peaches. I need to see this guy play this shit live in some Bowser costume in the fucking Dolby Theater in front of, like, hundreds of thousands, because he won't give a fuck. This man looks like he's being taken to school by his own son when you see him out and about. He's there with his hands in his straps, a shirt that don't fit right, and you like, that man's worth millions. Like, that man dresses up like Spider-Man daily on his TikTok. That man goes viral before he even thinks about posting. That man wrote a song because he was obsessed with Red Dead Redemption.
Jesus Christ.
He's like, oh, you know, yo, Kyle Gass, I want to make music again. Oh, what about? Oh, I've been playing this game, Red Dead Redemption 2, and it's really fucking good, you know. Right, so phase five. Phase five so far, because we're still balls deep in this bitch.
We're still in it. So phase five for me, I mean,
Guardians 3.
Basically, like I do have an honorable mention from Quantumania, but it's not even in the actual fucking movie.
Oh,
it's in the trailer for the movie.
Okay.
And that's what pisses me off. So it's Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
And it's used in the trailer, and I think it's used really effectively in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And like that, I think that's part of the reason I was
really
hyped.
Elton fan. You love yourself some.
I'm a huge
every
Elton
time
fan.
We get into Fantasia, like that's so the first thing you're on TouchTunes.
Oh, that shit is fucking man's fucking fire, bro. And like I was super excited, and then it's not in the fucking movie. I'm like,
huh?
What?
At least I got Rainbow of the Dark at the end of 4. Like, I still had 2 hours and 30 minutes to get to there. And you were like, oh, maybe it's going to be the end credit music. What is this bullshit?
I was like, I got gypped. You know what? Just fuck you, man. Just fuck you. But like, okay, so for Guardians, it's definitely Guardians 3.
Course.
And I was, there's so many good songs, and I was thinking again, I focused on impact and use of the song, you know, what, you know, how were they most effective, and the two that stood out for me, first one being No Sleep Till Brooklyn. And
yes.
it's that ending scene where Rocket's like, you know, I'm done running, and he does that slow turn to walk back to to the ship to save everyone. Oh, bro, fuck me! It just, the second it starts, it's just enthralled, and you want to be there with these fuckers. You're like, yes, let's fucking go. Let's go save some people. Let's go blow this motherfucker up. Let's do it. And it's exactly what it was supposed to do in that moment, and it was just beautiful, beautiful. And fucking Beastie Boys, you can't go wrong with the Beastie Boys, bro.
No, absolutely
not. That shit just slaps any all day or day.
People consider No Sleep Till Brooklyn in the No Way Home soundtrack. I saw it on a few websites, and I was like, no, it's not. Flash to sings it. That doesn't count.
No, and he doesn't even say Brooklyn. He says Boston.
Yeah. Like, you
no
dumb shit.
Sleep, boom, boom, to Boston.
You guys,
shut the fuck up.
You guys
up.
Didn't get in? Shut the fuck up, Flash.
It's like, no, because we're actually friends with Spider-Man.
Yeah. Fuck you now. Yo, but that guy's going to become a good character.
I recently saw him, and I saw Scream 6 the other day.
Yes, that starts like Scream, like, you know, usual free boy tangent, but Scream 5 and Scream 6 have been so good. That is how you reboot a series.
it's you know, spoilers, when the Flash's character, I don't know the actor's name, when his character is being killed.
Yeah.
In Scream 6, and he's like, you know, just talking about the movies. It's when the guy who's killing him is like, who gives a fuck about movies? Slices his throat. It's like, yo, this is not like other ghost faces. This motherfucker don't give a shit about movies. He's trying to kill people.
Yep.
Like, fuck me, dude. It was really good.
Yeah, really good. It was really good. I'm surprised you saw that. Like, out of all the scariest movies I've seen of recent memory, Scream is actually like, there was moments where I'm like, holy fuck, like, goddamn.
well, Scream, in terms of like horror movies, because obviously I'm not a huge fan, but Scream has always been very different. It's where it's a horror movie, but it's not a horror. It's more
the
like
self-realization
like
within Scream.
Movie.
Yeah,
yeah, that Scream kind
free.
Of shit I like. So I was I've seen almost all of the Scream movies.
Yeah, damn.
And the only reason I watched Scream 6 is because like my sister was. She wanted to go see it in theaters, but for some reason I didn't want to, or I just couldn't, or whatever. So she saw it, like it dropped on Paramount Plus. And she's like, "It's here, we're gonna watch it." Okay, so we watched it, and I was like, "Damn, this is really good."
Mm-hmm. I saw it twice in cinemas. Pretty good.
Fucking A. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted the baddie from the first movie to come back though. They keep mentioning him. Matthew Lillard's character. Can never remember his character's name. But he's...
Stu Marker.
I think. Yeah. Stu Marker. He's like... The twins, the brother and sister. The one who's Tinkerer in Spider-Man Miles Morales. They're related to him. They're his like great grandkids or some shit. All anyone says, it was just a TV. And like it's a good thing. Like, I know they used the cop as like the reason that like he could bring everything in there together, but I was like, even a cop can't do that shit legally.
Yeah.
Someone who could is safe, like, and it is a few things. Hayden Panettiere's character in the poster, which was the New York subway in the shape of the Scream mask, her character was like blanked out. So is Stu's. And then they used that as an excuse, like, oh, she's alive and she's still back. Like, they've like, if you're doing this as a new, like, as a new trilogy, like, the king of everything, maybe end Scream, like, let's do things other franchises are scared to do. The king of everything has always been Matthew Lillard's been in the background as like some form of like Scream cult leader that all these other people were a part of.
Yeah,
I feel like that'd be pretty cool. Man. Yeah, and plus, I love me some Matthew Lillard, bro.
Dude's really good. He's really underrated.
I need your second song though for Phase 5, motherfucker. And why is it Dog Days Are Over? Is it?
Motherfucker, it is.
Because who was expecting? Like, even my dad's like, "Yo, what's that song at the end?" I was like, "Dad, you are literally like the scariest guy when it comes to music. You listen to some shit that, like, I can't even read the band's name of, and you want to listen to Dog Days Are Over by Lana Del Rey, bro?" Like, he's like, "Yeah, it's a good song. I like the beat."
Like, honestly, man, like, thinking about what the song represents, it's the end of this crew story. It's the end of it. It's ending on such a happy note. Like, yeah, it's ending, but, you know, it's not sad.
No, it's not.
These people are staying together. You know, you're just not going to see their adventures anymore. But, you know, you've got Rocket, new team of people, and Groot's with them. Fucking Nebula and Drax are doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gamora's off doing her thing. Peter's back on Earth. It's just an uplifting way to end a story that, I mean, obviously with everything that had come before, people were a little skeptical on. And Guardians 3 was fucking phenomenal.
So Guardians 3, good.
So fucking good. And to end it in such a lighthearted, upbeat way, chef's kiss, bro. That shit. Fucking James Gunn with music.
Yep.
He don't miss. Don't miss.
The man slippy slapped. He's on X Games mode every movie.
Oh my god, he's on X Games mode.
That man is like, oh my god, that was legitness. Yeah, it was. Like, after every James Gunn movie. So, like.
Oh, for sure.
For Absolutely. Sure, for sure. Can I just ask you one thing before we end it? I didn't even consider the TV series when I was picking songs, but now that we mentioned James Gunn enough and Guardians enough, I think in Phase 4 do we get the holiday special?
Yes.
I like the Christmas song. I don't know what Christmas is. That Christmas song is dope. He asked the band to write it, and like they're actually like you see them, you see their characters in Guardians 3 in the beginning. They're walking around. I'm like, there's those fuckers. They want to get flamethrowers for Christmas. Even my mum watched that holiday special. Like, my mum doesn't. My mum don't see Marvel movies anymore, but she saw Guardians 3 coming out and was like, I've seen the other two. So damn right you have. Come on. Seen Guardians 3. Come on.
Fucking A, man. Yeah, no, it's definitely really good.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I think that's a great little honorable mention to end on.
The TVs, no music. No music was used.
Nah.
Let's go back to Phase 2, Iron Man 3 and 4-2. Nothing worth mentioning.
Nah. I thought about the TV shows, and I just feel like... They're just kind of there. And, like, I feel like a dick to say, but, like, it's kind of the truth. And, like,
you want to know how bad it's gotten for Marvel? Do you know how many projects we've had? How many Marvel projects we've had since we last saw, like, Captain America from Falcon and the Winter Soldier? 18. Jesus. 18 different Marvel projects. And it's going to be at least another 3-4 more till we get to Brave New World.
Yeah, apparently that's going to be a point of contention between, like, Iger and Feige. Like, they're trying to reduce the number. They're trying to get back to quality over quantity.
Yes. I don't like Iger. He's a bit of a knob jockey. But if he can... If he can bring back Marvel to former glory. Like, someone was saying, is Secret Wars on track to be the first 3 billion movie? And I'm like, no. Because by that point, superhero fatigue will be so bad. I'll be more looking forward to Dune 3.
Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, I think it's, you know, if they say you take a year off, it might help. Like, if you do a whole year, no Marvel movies, no Marvel anything, you take the time, you go back, you reassess, and you, like, restructure and redo. When you do come back, your audiences will be like, fuck yes, let's
do
this.
You want to know how bad it is? Without the TV, Phase 4, Black Widow, 2021, Shang-Chi, 2021, Eternals, 2021, No Way Home, 2021, Doctor Strange 2, 2022, 4-4, 2022, Black Panther 2, 2022. That's not including the TV shows in 2021 and 2022.
Jesus.
And you expect us to, like, that meme of, like, oh, you know, me showing my son, like, 63 Marvel movies just so he can understand Marvel versus Goodfellas versus The Godfather spin-off movie. Like... But it's like, they ain't wrong. Like,
nah. It's like,
how does Pete Parker watch all the Star Wars movie and not realize that he literally works for Mace Windu? And we'll see you next week. Like us, subscribe to us, jerk us off, lick our balls, don't forget the gooch. Wipe our bum crack afterwards as well. It's pretty dirty down there. Until next time, we're freeballing.
Take it easy, everyone.
Come join us on this trip. Now I'm like the throwing out the scripts.
Come on, man. Come join us on a trip.
I'm sorry.
Now we're throwing out the script.
I hope we don't charge a penny.
I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.